This series was co-produced with HMP Berwyn and funded by the National Lottery Community Fund.
Hello and welcome to the final episode in our series of the Recovery Hub podcast from HMP Berwyn's Recovery Factory. I'm Marcus from Eternal Media and thanks for listening to the episodes. I hope you found them insightful, useful and inspiring. In this final episode, we speak to one of the men in the Recovery Factory who was going through a difficult time as he was taken off multiple medications and put onto methadone. Now, to me, this was a fascinating episode because as we got into it, the guy was really angry at first at how he'd been taking off his medication and the doctor had put him onto methadone, which he didn't want to go on. And I kind of get that because, you know, I've been on methadone so many times over the years and I've actually got back onto heroin just to get off methadone because it was just such a horrible thing to be on. But what was so interesting was that as we got into the conversation, initially he wanted to be put back on everything that he came into prison on. You know, that is exactly what he wanted. But as we got into it, what he actually wanted was a future without drugs. See what you think, but as we got into the conversation, it just totally turned around and I'm thinking, well, I don't know, maybe they've done him a favour. I don't know. Anyway, see what you think.
So here we are on the recovery wing. How long have you been here?
Since 25th of October, so it was 6 weeks, something like that.
Okay. And did you choose to come on the recovery wing, or was it...
I got offered there and I took it. So like it was a bit of a shoot, a bit of a pick, like, but I was on board with that coming here.
Okay.
And because I've been on Sabotex for like 6 years, right. And they took it off me coming here, like, because they don't like giving Sabotex. So, but the one thing I don't like going on is methadone, because you can use on top. So I don't see it as a way out.
No. So is that what's happened? They've put you on methadone?
Yeah.
Okay.
I liked Sabotex because it stopped me from using on top, like, you know what I mean? It made it pointless.
Yeah, it's a blocker, isn't it?
Yeah.
The same with the Budival. Yeah.
So now they put me on methadone, which is really hard to come off. Do you mean? And like, it's like the doctor don't care, you know? Like, you got like nerve damage in your hand or methadone. Do you know what I mean? He took all my antidepressants off me. I was born with an illness that I was on nerve medication for. He took all that off me coming in. I got stabbed in 2019, and I was on anxiety and depression medication. He took that off me. Mm-hmm. He's just, I don't like the doctor, you know. I think he uses the excuse of it's a trade commodity. Mm-hmm. But it's not, though, is it? It doesn't matter. Just because other people trade their medication, you're making me go without my medication.
Mm. So would you like to come off the methadone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My mother's speaking to the MPs right into me, so to try and have a word. But
what did they put you on? Do you mind me asking? If anything's personal, you don't.
No,
have to
I don't mind talking about anything.
Okay. So what? How much did they put you on?
30 mil so far, but okay. It's never gone. I was on the highest dose of Budesonide. I was on 160 mil monthly. Mm-hmm. And that's like the right top dose.
Yeah.
So like 30 mil is not going to hold me at all. Like.
Okay. And has that been for the full 6 weeks you've been here?
No, I only started it, I think it was last Wednesday. No, last Thursday.
Okay.
So, because like 2 days before I shipped out from Swansea, I had my jab. So like that lasted me a month, so I was alright coming here for a month, but I was going to go without and refuse the methadone, but then I thought like if I start withdrawing then I'm going to be buggered, aren't I?
Okay.
So like I was stuck between a rock and a hard place really, wasn't I? That,
yeah.
Because I was guaranteed going to end up withdrawing at some point. Because Budesonide is an opiate, isn't it?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Absolutely. So now you're on this recovery wing, do you think you're going to try and look at a way of maybe coming off or reducing on the methadone?
Yeah, definitely, because I want to progress. I don't want to, and I want to get out with no nothing holding me down, like, do you mean, nothing holding me back, not having to rely on a medication to function each day, like, because I got my son out there.
Okay.
And I don't want to have to go to, I don't know, it's just embarrassing, and it being on.
And do you think the reason you're in here, is it kind of drug related, or?
Yeah, definitely drug related.
Yeah.
I was in for robbery, and I bumped into two friends, like, late in the, like, early hours in the morning, and he was with a girl, and they basically set him up. She was a prostitute, and she had a punter, and she went with him, and then we went down and, like, sort of bribed him.
Mm-hmm.
But at first, before all this, like, he told me that he wouldn't let her go. So, and then she started saying that he raped her.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, like, but once it was all done, I could see what the real story was, like.
Mm-hmm.
But
things get all messy, don't they, when you're out of your head?
Yeah, because I was really drunk that night as well, like, you know. It went. I was out having a good time with a good friend, not getting into trouble, and it went, like, by up. I met them at 2 o'clock. There was the other two, and by up was 2 hours in the police station, like.
Right. Okay.
And on for a robbery charge, getting 4.5 years. It's just how quick things can change, isn't it?
Serena. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you make decisions you wouldn't normally, would you?
No. Your inhibitions go out the window, don't they? I mean, yeah. I learned quite well how to, like, think about the consequences before.
Okay, and has that ever stopped you from?
Yeah, like, when I got out in 2017, like, I was pretty good at doing it because I wanted to stop myself from coming to jail.
Yeah.
But then, one time, that night I took a couple of Valium when I was homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And it just messed my whole thought process up. Didn't think about the consequences. Just went and done it, like.
Mm-hmm.
It's stupid. So, and then that's what ended me up in, yeah. Like, I blame Valium, but ultimately I blame myself because I took Valium knowing what they do to me.
Yeah.
They make you make stupid decisions, and they make you not think about your decisions.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So did you learn, the last time you were in prison then, did you go on a recovery ring and learn sort of tools and stuff?
Yeah, nearly every sentence I've been in, I've been, like, apart from one sentence, I was always on a drug recovery wing.
Okay.
So, like, and, like, on this wing, you don't really do a lot of courses, like, do you know what I mean? You only do courses in the workshops. But on the wings, the other wings, like in Park Prison, for instance, you do courses on the wing all day, like most days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you do NA meetings, AA meetings, Smart Recovery, BBB, like all kinds of courses.
And did you find them really useful?
Yeah, definitely. Cause you don't just learn from the course, you learn from other people's, like, perspectives. You learn their coping strategies, and, like, group meetings are the best, I'd say.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, because in groups you feed off each other, and
yeah.
It's one thing reading it from a book, but it's another thing someone telling you how they've actually used it.
Yeah.
And how they managed to not use or change their thinking.
Because you hear a lot of other ways. Like, you can learn one way from a book, but that way might not suit you. Like, but if you learn in 5 different ways from 5 different people,
yeah,
one of them ways is, you know, a lot more likely to suit you. Because there's a lot, you need ways that suit you, don't you? You can't force yourself to do, you can force yourself, but it's better if you can find a way that suits you better, don't it?
It's got to be sustainable.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to take it into your life and actually do it, don't you?
Because if you don't like it, it's not going to be efficient, is it?
Yeah, yeah. It's like keeping fit, you know. I look at runners and I think, oh, that would be the best way to keep fit, running, because you burn loads of calories and all that. But I hate it.
Yeah, I know, it's killer.
I really don't like it. So I keep trying it and I'll do it and then I just don't do it. Mm. So if that was going to be my way of getting fit, I wouldn't do it. I like walking my dog, so
That's good though.
It is. So I walk my dog and I do some hills, so it's aerobic. So I'm doing the same thing, but I'm doing something I enjoy.
Doing incline is a lot. That's a good way of losing weight, isn't it, as well?
Yeah. So you, yeah, exactly. So it's finding something that fits with you that you're going to maintain.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna carry on running because I don't like it. Mm. But I will walk my dog. So it's, yeah. So do you think, yeah? So what have they got on this wing, group wise and stuff?
No, the only courses you do are in this room, like. But okay. Half of the time, you're not allowed in them unless your name's down, like.
Okay.
So, and because it's only small, it's only like 10 people allowed in here at a time, and there's like at least 50 people in this workshop, I think. So it's not enough, is it, really? And it's a massive jail. To try and rehabilitate all the prisoners in here, it's not easy, is it? You know, you've got to understand it from their perspective as well, haven't you? But it's just, I don't think they do enough to try and rehabilitate you. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just give you meth and off you go, like.
Yeah.
They need more courses to try and help you, like.
Yeah, so if there were courses here, would you do them then?
Yeah, I've been trying to get on courses. Like, I've just started restorative justice now.
Okay.
I've done the sycamore tree and back in Swansea Prison.
Uh-huh.
And I'm carrying it on now I just had resettlement meeting.
So is this sort of self-learning in your cell?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Just working out the booklets and stuff.
That's really good you're doing that, because sometimes, yeah, if we want to get well and we want to do stuff and it's not there, we've got to find it ourselves,
yeah.
Haven't we? Yeah.
You can meet the victim as well, like.
Yeah.
So, you can ask me the questions that he needs answered and stuff.
That's really good. Do you think that's important?
Yeah, definitely. Because if he thinks that he was targeted and stuff, or, you know, it could clear his mind a bit, can it? Like, help him realise that it might, you know, it's not... Yeah, I don't know.
It wasn't really about him, it was about you, yeah?
Yeah.
And even you wouldn't have, wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah, wrong place, wrong time sort of things. I think help him realise that it's not going to, it's not necessarily going to happen to him all the time or something, if he thinks that.
Yeah.
And let him know that I am sorry.
And you want to do stuff so that, you don't end up doing that again.
Yeah.
So I suppose for you to guarantee that you're not going to reoffend or do that, you need to find a way to be abstinent.
Yeah, definitely. Cause like,
do you make those silly decisions when you're straight and sober?
No, not when I'm straight and sober. No, it's always when I'm kicked out. Because when I kicked out, I go out and drink, and then when I drink, then I want to use drugs. Mm-hmm. And it's just one thing leads to the other. It's just, like, it sounds like a cliche a bit, but it does.
No, I was the same. I would, I would never use cocaine unless I drank, and as soon as I had a glass of wine, that would be it.
It makes you want it way more, doesn't it? It's mad.
Yeah, I wouldn't stop until I got it.
I could have a drink, and I wouldn't think of coke, what crack it was, like, but I wouldn't think of it at all. As soon as I'd have a drink, and I'd be, like, gasping for it, yeah. It's mad. It's mad what alcohol does to you, like, makes you... It
triggers something, doesn't it, inside you, yeah. I mean, I've found, because obviously I'm in recovery as well, so coming up 5 years in March.
That's good.
Yeah, I've found complete abstinence is the only way.
Yeah, it is the only way. I thought, like, being, you could have, like, a table here and there, but nah, one time, it might only be once in 6 months, but it'll end up... closer and closer until it's every day again.
Yeah, or I have got no control when I do, so I don't know when I'm going to stop or what I'm going to do.
That's what, same as me, man. Once you start, it's hard to stop, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like with heroin, I was on heroin, I was, obviously, because of the opiates I'm on, but I haven't done that since, I've been off them since 2018. Mm-hmm. They don't even bother me at all now. It's just, the only reason I'm still on script is because I was scared of being without it, and would I be able to come off it, and when I'm coming off it, am I going to be strong enough to not to go through that withdrawal? Because obviously you're going to have a bit of a withdrawal.
Yeah.
For the benefit of the tape, Marcus has entered the room.
Hello.
How you doing? What's your name?
Craig.
How you doing, Craig?
Not too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just telling us they just put him on a methadone script.
They've just put you on?
Yeah.
It was on board with that. I've been on Subutex for the past nearly 6 years.
Yeah.
And it's coming here, they swap me over, like, for no reason.
Yeah. So when I know
because they don't do it here, do they?
No,
that's the reason they don't have it.
No, I know, but that's not my fault. Is it? They can't just not give you medication.
Yeah,
that's jail.
Yeah,
it's like people are on pain medication. Like he didn't just take out of me. Took my mirtazapine, took my my antidepressants, took all my medication off me, not just one leg.
And how do you feel?
I feel a bit better than now, like, it's been a few weeks, but at first it was hard, like.
It just snapped you off?
Yeah. Like, I got CMT, which is, like, my nerves and brain and my nerves don't interact. And
sort of like gabapentin you'd offer that, or pre-gabs?
Yeah, I was getting up to that medication, but I was on amitriptyline.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
And amitriptyline, mirtazapine and duloxetine. And they just took them all. They left me with duloxetine, but duloxetine side effects.
So are you getting to learn about yourself being chemical free at the minute?
Yeah.
Is that interesting? Are you finding out anything about yourself?
Yeah, I'm finding out I can go without it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just the painkillers that I wish I could have had back, because it's a lifelong illness and there's nothing, there's no cure, like, do you know what I mean? So I need something. But because my medication was sedative, he wouldn't give it to me. It's not just me, so I know I'm not being targeted. Like, he's done it to everyone. So
yeah, it's that. Yeah,
it's, how can I moan? I can't moan.
Well, you can moan.
Yeah, moan.
Moaning's allowed. Anyway, yeah,
you can moan.
Jails run on moaning.
Yeah,
it's fuel.
But then it's what can I do?
Yeah,
that's not a bad question. What can you do about it?
Yeah,
it's like a serenity prayer, isn't it? It's kind of
what can you actually do about it? Yeah, because if it's all gone, it's taken away. It's like moaning. There is a bit of relief in moaning, so that's definitely the first port of call.
Yeah.
But then it's that, how am I going to help myself if no one's going to help me? And it's
just got to find a way of getting on without it, and so. And I'm getting there now. Do you know what I mean? I'm happy.
You're happy?
Yeah, I'm happy. We're getting there. Like,
that's good to hear.
I just don't want to. This methadone, it just makes me worry about when I got to come off it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was on board with that. And no, Subutex is a lot easier to come off than.
Have they just put you on it?
Yeah.
2 weeks. But
I was on a Buvidal script just before it, like, do you know what I mean?
What, they put you on? What dose?
30 mil.
Yeah, it's enough to feel it, isn't it? When you,
yeah. I was on the highest dose of Buvidal. It was on 160 mil a month.
Do you rattle off that stuff if you don't have it? Well, off Buvidal?
Yeah, it's Subutex, isn't it?
Yeah, but it comes out of your system so slowly that it's a lot. I've seen quite a few people come off it, and it's quite subtle.
Yeah.
Quite.
Because methadone's not.
No, probably it's probably psychological as well, you know. So yeah. It is. Yeah, it's a lot gentler because it comes out of your system slowly. Yeah, we were just saying that there aren't any groups and stuff, so he's been in prison before and had access to a lot of recovery.
Oh, where were you?
Park Prison.
Where's that?
In Bridgend, down South Wales.
Yeah, I've been the one time and did something.
Yeah. But you know, it's I think the way to change that is like with positive input in saying, you know, we really want to do more.
Yeah.
And sort of, in a positive, active way.
Still very new here, isn't it? They are
it
trying
is
to get
new,
it. I'm not making excuses for anyone, but
COVID stopped a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It's just getting back on his feet now.
I think the recovery wing has only been open since April, hasn't it? And it does take time, and it is working. You have to work with the system to change stuff, don't you? Not against it.
Yeah, it's not as easy in a jail as just going, right, let's get this done.
No.
You know, you've got there's a lot of things.
Jails hurry up and wait. And
yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So even the guys here running it will be tied with stuff they can do. So I know they're they're quite passionate and they really want to have stuff here for you guys. So hopefully that's the way it will move towards, you know.
Yeah, you know, they've got no money for it.
Yeah.
No one's given anybody any money to run any recovery stuff in here. That's a problem.
Yeah.
They're really up against it.
Isn't it what, they're not getting no funding, nothing?
No.
Wow.
I think they've got a bit of funding left for art equipment, which they're going to bring in. But actually, recovery groups and stuff, we're going to try and help and get mutual aid in, like, fellowship,
CA.
You know, CA, NA. Have you ever done any of that?
Yeah, I've done NA on EA.
Did you enjoy it? Did you get anything?
Yeah, it's like we learned coping strategies and stuff, and this was in Park Prison as well. I got about 10 years ago now.
Yeah.
But in Park Prison they do the NA and EA quite often. And it's always on the wing, like, so.
Would you go if it was there?
Yeah, definitely.
Good to know.
Which is hard to get NA and EA.
I would as well.
I'd love to go to them. I'd go to any group, I would, because like, the amount they have, you always feel good leaving them as well. You always feel like when you leave the gym,
yeah,
you feel good, don't you? Like, do you know what I mean? It feels like you pot, like, I don't know, releases endorphins.
It's a recovery workout.
Yeah. It's like that, it is.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, we'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you'd like to see on
No, that's
bit?
Fine, that is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been good. What do you want? My chest.
If you could have anything for yourself, what would it be?
A better doctor.
Do you mean a doctor that says yeah?
No, he is really strict, like, in all fairness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just done like the drug tests, like they're trying to say like me and my padmate don't even do drugs, don't even smoke, and they're trying to say that he failed for benzos. I think it's just a way of getting you off your medication that they don't want you on, like.
What do you want for your future?
I want a progressive job with a house and a mortgage, living with my son, like.
In addiction, out of addiction, using, not using?
Not using. Completely abstinent from drugs.
Completely abstinent.
Yeah.
Because I know I can't.
So if you did the first bit, the rest comes anyway, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're an addict, you're very determined anyway. And what you've learned in your addiction is certainly transferable skills into a clean life.
Yeah, like if you want drugs, you go and get them, and do you know what I mean? So if I want a job, I go get it.
Become very driven people. If asked you now, what would you want for yourself? What would be the first thing?
Clean, completely clean, and off license.
Is that achievable in jail?
Yeah, I think so. I think jail is probably the best place to get that first step.
I couldn't do it in jail, so I had to do another few years in the wilderness when I got out again. And so I'm in awe of anyone that can get clean in jail and sustain that. And even getting clean isn't recovery, is it? It's kind of
staying clean, is it?
Yeah, but learning about yourself and that healing process and
getting clean is the easy part, and it's staying.
It is. You don't feel like it when you're addicted,
like,
does it?
It's really hard, like, that week or 2 weeks or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Of doing the withdrawals.
Yeah.
That seems like years at the time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it seems like it's going to be impossible when you can't sleep and you don't know when you are going to sleep. And it's horrible.
How long have you got left?
21 months.
Okay. Soon goes on, doesn't it?
Yeah. Every time I've come to jail, I've got clean. But apart from the last time I got out, I did end up relapsing, but so every time I've come to jail I've got clean, but I've always got out and relapsed. It's just last time I got out with no license and I managed to get on a script, so like I was clean in a sense of like I weren't using illegal drugs, but I was still scripted, and that's why I'm on Subutex now. I've been on them for like 6 years, so well, not on Subutex now, but you know what I mean.
Yeah So would you like, when you say you'd like to be abstinent, do you mean off a script as well?
Yeah. I don't want to be reliant on nothing but myself, right?
And I think the thing about being on a script is that, you know, when you need that stability, it's absolutely amazing. But it does block those feelings, so good and bad. And I guess if you want to work on what's wrong, you have to come off it. Otherwise, you don't know what you're working on, do you?
Like being especially opiates, it blocks out a lot of your emotions and feelings, doesn't it? Like, and clouds your judgment.
Did you get like stable on a script? Was that enough for you, or did you use on top of it?
No, I was stable on a script and we're not using.
Because I've been scripted lots. It was never enough.
No.
It didn't do what I wanted it to do.
No, like it stops you from withdrawing.
Yeah, it stops from rapping.
Some people want a little bit of a high with it, don't they?
You got a bit of a nod off it?
Yeah, at the moment. Yeah. Like, when I relax, I'm sitting there and I'm nodding off. Mm. But, like, that's like after that then, or like in the night, it feels like it's wearing off, because the dose that I was on Bovidal equivalents to about 90 mL of meth, like.
Yeah, that'll you know, stabilise very quickly.
Yeah. If you went on to that, coming off that would.
Oh yeah, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't have done that. That would probably be yeah, hospital.
It would be horrific.
Yeah.
It's not nice to come off, is it?
I'm quite happy staying on 30 mL, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm sleeping, that's the main thing really. Because when you're not sleeping, you're having 24-hour days, like. Well, and that's a long day, especially when you're feeling rough, innit?
Mm. Hopefully we'll get to come and catch up with you.
Yeah.
And see where you're at next year.
Yeah.
And
hopefully got me an answer DCAT, maybe.
Oh, yeah, you're going for DCAT?
Yeah.
Which one?
Prescott. But I've done half of the courses, and I've just started restorative justice now.
Yeah.
Done the sycamore, so that's like restorative
justice. It's not like what was the one we did, a sorry programme.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's just like victim awareness. And
do you have to meet your victim?
Yeah, well, you don't have to, but it's,
if
you'd
they,
like to.
Yeah.
Well, it's up to them as well if they'll do it, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's what I'm doing now. I've done the sycamore in Swansea, doing the course on how victims are affected. Now the restorative justice is like an extension of that, and this is the part where I'll meet my victim if he wants to. I'm up for it. Mm-hmm. It's just wherever he is.
Yeah,
I want to get out and be a better person to be a better father as well. Like, because even though I was there and I was present, I weren't the best, the version of what I could have been. Like,
yeah, well, yeah. When you're using. I mean, as you said, you know, it numbs all that. You make decisions and do stuff.
I weren't using when I was there with my son. Like, do you know what I mean? When I was with my partner, I was only, since I got kicked out Christmas time. Like, I got kicked out on Christmas, just after Christmas, in January. And then, well, I was homeless then, because I started drinking. Mm-hmm. Being in my mother's, I just got even more depressed. Because, like, 33, living with my mother again, I hated it. And then because I was drinking every other day, my mother's like, you can't come back here if you're going to keep drinking. So I'd end up staying out more so I could drink, and then just ended up using. And but like when I was there with my son, like I'd always be on my phone or sitting there chilling and not like doing stuff, not doing it, like, you know, I could have been doing more stuff with him, couldn't I? Like, rather than sitting there on my phone all the time watching videos. That's where I don't want to be all I got on my laptop, and you.
Everything's addictive if you're an addict,
yeah. Yeah. So this has given you
very addictive personality.
It's given you that space for that reflection.
Yeah. Like, this is the hardest sentence I've ever done. Because of my son, like, not because of him, because of me, but I've never been, whilst I've had kids. It's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
You can get it all back, though.
Yeah. I speak to him a lot.
It's achievable.
Yeah. So I speak to him every day, and I have visits once a month. But it's hard when he asks, when am I coming home? And, do you mean, I know, like, he thinks I'm in work.
How old are you now?
5.
How old are you?
Oh, 33.
33, and he's 5, yeah.
Oh, you're still young enough to change everything, yeah.
Yeah, I'm out just before his 7th birthday, so...
Okay.
It's not too bad. I'm just trying to think of the positives, innit?
Well, I didn't get clean and sober until my son was 10, you know, and I look at it, and I wasn't present, you know, I tried to be, but you're not, are you? So I still look, I've got the rest of his life and maybe his kid's life to be that parent, you know. Yeah. The awareness I have now, because I'm sober, I would never have had if I'd, you know, still been using and stuff, so.
Yeah, it makes you numb to it all, doesn't it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's what I want to, like, I just can't stand the thought of missing his life, like, especially the young years are the ones where, like, he's going to be the most loving and...
Yeah.
Where you can, like, sit, catch him and stuff, like...
Yeah. Do you know what I've found, though? My son needs me the most now.
Yeah.
The teenage years. And that's, like, that's when it's challenging for them, and you can absolutely be there for that. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, like, he'll always... It hurts me as well because of how close he's got with his mother, but that's my problem, do you know what I mean? Not theirs, because he was a daddy's boy all the time, now he's a mammy's boy, but that's my fault, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? But I'm glad he has got that. It's better for him to have it than not have it, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
It doesn't help us being a bit jealous, though.
No.
You know, but it doesn't mean we don't want that.
Yeah.
Well, you've got lots of reasons, haven't you, to continue?
Yeah, definitely. I think this time is, if I don't change after this time, I don't think I'll ever change. Because if this don't change me, there's not a lot that will, is it? Do you know what I mean?
It's all still knowledge that you're accumulating now. So, with every relapse, I learned something about myself.
Yeah.
I was lucky it didn't kill me, but I also learn something. Like, what you're going through now is going to be useful at some point.
Yeah.
Believe in that.
The resilience you
have. The life I had now, the life I had with the jails, homelessness, the addiction, seems to be very handy in the job I have now.
Yeah.
You know, it's very... I get to do what I do now because I had that life, really.
It helps you help others, doesn't it?
So... You can make use and see this as your university.
Yeah.
And it's I know the tough lessons, and they hurt a lot, and... But
the tough lessons
are
the
There
best
can be a point where they're still coming really useful.
So
as long as you can use what's happening...
Yeah.
It's not a waste.
No. Mm.
There's an end to it, and you're not repeating those same behaviours. I don't think the mistake yes. might have been in the beginning.
Yeah.
But
you make the most out of them.
Yeah. I never had the awareness at 33 that I couldn't use any substance. So for you to have that, to have that is, you know, that's going to stand you in good stead. I still thought, oh, I'll be all right to have a drink, or, you know, I could just do a line. I still thought that I could control it.
Yeah.
So for you to have that awareness, you can't.
I know, like, even if I only done it once a year, that gap would get more shorter and shorter.
Have you been to rehab or anything like that?
No. I thought about going to rehab, like, but I wouldn't know how to go about it, to be honest.
What, doing it or getting the funding to go, or all of it?
Yeah, I don't have a clue about none of it.
Basically, sit in a chair and you're pretty much told what to do for the next 3 to 6 months.
That would probably be all right for me, do you know what I mean?
That's the hardest thing is keeping your ass in the chair and not walking out when it gets a bit tough.
Yeah,
that's the hardest thing. Not walking out when the cravings hit.
That's the hardest part, isn't it? Is that you've got a choice whether to stay there.
There's no bars on the window.
No. You can walk out whenever you want, can you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like my mate went to one in Thailand. His father was like, his father paid about 10 grand for him to go there. They give you this stuff when you first go there, and you, like, it makes you spew. Like,
I've seen that.
Do it every day for a week.
Like a purging.
Yeah. And then, like, for a week after that, then he puts you in this, like, metal tank thing that only your head sticks out, and, like, the sweat, everything out of you or something. But he said, like, he couldn't do it, like, and he walked out of there.
Don't blame him.
Crazy.
Well, why is it okay to treat addicts like that?
You know, sounds terrific. Yeah.
In the middle of Thailand, in the middle of nowhere. It's probably paid a lot of money. Like,
God, it's like Apocalypse Now, isn't it?
It's got to be a way that suits you to get off. And if you're not going to like... you're never going to like coming off drugs. It's not an easy thing. You love the thing you're giving up. Do you mean? But I don't know. It's got to be suitable in some sort of way, isn't it?
I didn't give anything up. I didn't give a thing. I got something. I never saw it as... I was so done with it all.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I'd given anything up. I just didn't know how to stop.
Yeah.
I've been doing it so long.
Fucking hell, just show me how to get a day under my belt. That's why I went to rehab. I wanted somebody to show me how to do a day. Because I couldn't get a day in me. And I didn't stop. I didn't give anything up. I actually got something. I got my life. Done about back, but...
Got a new life.
I got...
You wouldn't want your life back, would you?
No, I want my life back. Not that life.
You wouldn't want that life,
but I got
you?
A life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drug free for the first time from a very young age.
It's a mad...
And that was a good mentality for me, and what was really helpful, and if you've done fellowship, you know this, what a powerful one for me is just for today. Because when I looked and I thought, God, what, I can't take another drug for the rest of my life? That was too big for me. I couldn't deal with
that. Yeah, that's what I was like at first.
But I could deal with it on in the beginning, 15-minute basis, a half-hour basis, and get it to an hour. I could build it up to a day, and I could do the same the next day, and then those days ran into weeks and then months and then years. But I could build it up a day at a time.
That's a good way of doing it. I never thought of it again.
Yeah, I can do it for today. I could do my diet just for today as well.
But it is a craving is only 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And if you get through that 15 minutes,
I bolt mine together.
You can do, you could do another one, can't you? And
like when I first come in, like I'd be dreaming about cocaine or crack. Yeah. Anything.
I still do.
Yeah, I still do now and then. Especially if I see it on TV, I'll have a dream that night. Like, when I first come in. A lot of things would trigger the craving in my head, but it'd be a really uncomfortable craving but it'd only last a couple of minutes, like it wouldn't be long. And as long as you just get past that, it goes, like, do you know what I mean? But now, after about six months, I've been in, it's like back to normal again. No, I don't crave it.
It's not your first thought in the morning.
No, it's
like
definitely not.
Can you remember that, like waking up, like, gotta get it.
And even when I do think of it, it's not as powerful inside the thought ain't as powerful.
So the kind of volume's been turned down.
Yeah, big time. Because before I used to get all like panicky and like, oh, I can't wait to get out. Like, it depressed me thinking that I'm in here and I can't go and have it.
Yeah. Well, isn't it weird, like you're rattling, but even having it in your hand makes you feel better.
Yeah.
You haven't got it in you.
On the way home, we're just walking from getting it. Yeah. That's part
even
of that.
That relief.
Yeah.
Don't have to go through that anymore.
I know.
It's not a thing anymore. It's like
when I was on heroin, I'd be like, I'd go and get it, and I'd have it, and I'd be so happy, and then I'd think, oh, I gotta go through this tomorrow. And then even though I'd have it in my hand, I'd be depressed again, and thinking that.
Classic, isn't it? You haven't even done it, and you think about the next one.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Yeah, yeah. You can't enjoy even what you're having because you're worried about it running out.
Yeah. It's a depressed, miserable way to live, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'd love to be able to show it, try and drill that into kids' heads.
Yeah, but that's the difference between being abstinent and being in recovery. Because when I had periods of abstinence, I thought about drugs and using all the time. I thought about not doing it and doing it and not doing it. It was just on me the whole time. But in recovery,
I've got some bad news.
Don't think about it.
In my opinion, addiction doesn't go, it just turns into something else.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you seen my legging collection? Is
as long as it goes into something good, it's all right.
Yeah.
Something healthy.
Yeah, mine's kind of the bakery aisle on Lidl. Yeah. In Lidl. And technology.
But do you know
anything else I like?
The bakery's banging, man. Yeah. I love it. It's the cookies. Oh, I love them.
That's
and the
yum
pizzas.
Yums.
You learn in recovery is how to channel your energies into different ways and how to cope with your thinking and stuff without having to use. That's the beauty of being in recovery.
Is buying a tray of yum yums, is that using?
Oh, them yum yums.
Depends. Are you doing it against your own free will?
My better judgment. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you not eat a yum yum?
It's very hard to pass one.
I don't even know what yum yums are.
They're those twists, isn't it?
Yeah, with toffee in them.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I don't know.
See, I think I was born an addict, right? And I'm now left with my first addiction, which is food.
Yeah.
I think I started with food, went through the whole drug and all the rest of it and stuff, and now I'm still left with food.
You see, my food addiction has gone from 12 steps. I worked on it, and it was the same with smoking.
Did you do one just for food?
It's the same for me. It's the same program. But do I use it for everything? When I gave up smoking, the same, I use the 12 steps. That obsession, it's the same. For my thinking, someone fucks me off. And I can't let go of that thinking. It's the same for me. It's
what, the obsessional thoughts?
The obsessional.
Yeah, intrusive.
Yeah. So yeah. I can use a program for that. And
you learn the tools and then you apply them to everything.
For me, everything, yeah.
I'm trying to let stuff go is tough, yeah.
No, you get to that place and there's other stuff you can, yeah.
I'll put that to the test.
Try it. Okay. I had a friend that used to, when they went into the shops and... and they wanted to buy a sweet, they used to shout out, "Be gone, gluttony! Take my gluttony away!"
I'm going to try that. Just kind of box
I think stuff. You probably wouldn't get served in that way. You oh, wouldn't I'm be able to
I'm
have
I'm their best
sweets.
Customer.
do you know, there's so many, as you were saying, you know, we were saying there's just so many different ways, and it's just, don't give up, do you? If you wanted to score... you wouldn't just ring the first guy. Oh, you haven't got any. All right, never mind.
No.
And leave it at that.
You're going through your form, but
you sewed the same with recovery. You just keep trying until you get it, and try lots of different ways, and try it more than once, and like you would if you're trying to score. Absolutely.
You knock a stranger's door, you don't even know. Like, and like I'm not like I hate and going that, to dealers. I don't know, but if it comes to it in the end, I will be knocking the door and I'd be banging for good of it just for the answer. Yeah.
So maybe take help off someone that you don't know, you know, try
it turns
something.
Turns you into someone you're not. No.
Yeah, but for recovery, try something you maybe think, oh, that's not me, that's really uncomfortable. Yeah. You just don't know. Yeah. Exciting for you.
Yeah.
Right, we're going to have to wrap it. It's nearly time to move.
Thank you so much. So will you talk to us when we come back?
Yeah, definitely.
Brilliant. And... we might see you in here in another capacity anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm going to send some big books and stuff in next week.
Yeah. Right, any last words? That oh, sounds bad. Anything else you'd like to say? What did you say?
No, thank
you. Just thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
thanks for being
sharing.
Part of the Eternals Recovery Hub podcast.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode and found it as interesting as I did when we had the conversation. Thank you so much for listening to the whole series. We've all worked so hard on it, including the men in Berwyn. We've already got plans to go back in. There'll be another series coming soon. Please check back with us. And from all of the Eternal Media team and HMP Berwyn team, especially the guys on the recovery wing, thanks again. Do check back with us for the next series in prison. We'll be releasing them soon. One final thought is that we wish the lads in Berwyn a phenomenal recovery, and they've just been fantastic to work with. Thanks again for tuning in, and goodbye from us all at Eternal.